Hey there, I am so excited to let you know that my upcoming book, Building Your Money Machine, is available for pre-order. Now, you might say, why do I want a pre-order book that I'm not going to get until June 11th, 2024, when it comes out? Here's why. First off, it's going to get you access to a whole handful of wealth resources that you can't get anywhere else. They will go away. These are special resources, trainings and tools and templates that allow you to implement them into your life, to get financial freedom started in your life. The whole idea behind this book is to light the path to financial freedom so you get the chance to live a life of choice, not a life of need. To be able to choose what you do, when you want to do it, with whom you want to do it with. And yet we seem to not want to talk about financial freedom or money or wealth because we demonize it. But the fact is that it's just a tool. And if we use the tool correctly, we have a richer lifestyle, but we have a deeper impact. People's lives are better. And I want to have that conversation. And I want to have it frankly. I want to have it openly. I want to give you the step-by-step process to get yourself the financial freedom. And that's what this book does for you. It's about getting your money to work harder for you than you did for it. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to yourmoneymachinebook.com. Check out the wealth resources that you get for free, but they're going to expire. So you need to pre-order the book today, put your information in, and then we'll make sure that we get you the resources to get you on the road and on the path to financial freedom. And until I get a chance to see you on the road or see you on that path, always, always strive to live a life that outlives you. See you soon. Oh my God. Welcome to this episode of the Affluent Entrepreneur Show. This one is a special one. It's a special person. This is the first time that I'm having this type of conversation with my son, Jeremy. For those of you that know me, I was a single full-time dad raising him from 5.5 years old. He's now 32, married to a beautiful, beautiful gal, 30 years old. They've got their first child and their second child on their way. Both of them entrepreneurs. They own three homes, multi-million dollar net worth at 32 and 30. And we have a conversation around the journey, around the environment, around life, around what it was like to be raised, and what were the turning points from a financial standpoint and everything. It's rich. It's amazing. And for me as his dad, it was special to hear. It was nice to hear. It was to see how focused and how dialed in they are and everything. I think this thing is going to serve you no matter whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. So you got it. You jump in, listen to it over and over again. And I'd love to hear from you. Enjoy the episode. I'll see you in the episode. Cheers.
This is the Affluent Entrepreneur Show for entrepreneurs that want to operate at a high level and achieve financial liberation. I'm your host, Mel Abraham, and I'll be sharing with you what it takes to create success beyond wealth so you can have a richer, more fulfilling lifestyle. In this show, you'll learn how business and money intersect so you can scale your business, scale your money, and scale your life while creating a deeper impact and living with complete freedom. Because that's what it really means to be an affluent entrepreneur.
Hey there, Jeremy. So good to finally have you on. This is going to be an interesting show. As I said in the intro, Jeremy's a successful entrepreneur, but he's also my son. So he has been scarred by me for decades. He lived with me starting at age six or just before that. And so he was getting indoctrinated into this whole entrepreneur game. But fact of the matter, Jeremy, you actually, I remember this story, and I don't know if you remember it. We were in a mall one day, and this is when I knew that, and you were still like 6 years old, and you wanted something in a store. And I said, no, not today. And you looked at me and said, Dad, I'll make you a deal. And I go, oh man, he's listening too much. So for those of you parents out there, I think, and we'll find out, some of what you say, but more of what you do seems to get sink in to our kids. And I thought it would be a cool idea to have a conversation for Jeremy. And we have not, I've not discussed any questions. We've not rehearsed any of this. I have no idea what he's going to say. He might tell me that was the worst experience, but it's worked out for him all right. So Jeremy, before we get started, do me a favor, let people know what you're doing today. You know, he is, aside from my son, he's an entrepreneur, and he is the daddy to my granddaughter and soon to be another grandchild. So,
yeah. So currently just running a software startup. I founded a company by the name of Spiffy that does checkouts and payments and a lot of sales automation and whatnot for online entrepreneurs. So that is my job now.
You say it's a startup, but it's been around for a little while.
Yeah, we're going on 7 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's profitable, bootstrapped, no debt, no VC funding, nothing like that. So, I mean, we basically started with $3,000 and have grown it to close to 7 figures annual recurring revenue.
So good. So good. And how you started was another interesting thing. One of the things that we don't necessarily know the opportunities that come about, because Jeremy went to school, originally wanted to go to school to go into the film industry.
Yeah.
But then he switched his major to business marketing. But there was a moment there, because one of the challenges I had as a dad, you know, we had this house and his room was in the back of the house, or on one end of, not the back, he was in the front of the house actually. But he was at the other end of the house from where my room was. And he was playing on the computer all the time. And I was trying to figure out, how do I get him off the computer? And I couldn't figure out how to get him off the computer. So what did I do? I think I got you Dreamweaver and I got you a domain.
Yeah. You still haven't got me off the computer, by the way.
No, I haven't. I made it even worse. So from there.
I think it was 14.
Yeah, I think you were 13, 14 years old. Yeah. And you then, within 2 weeks, you decided, you came back to me and said, look, I made myself a website. And so that was really the beginning, because then I said, wait, if you can do that for me, can you do that for me? And you said, yes. But you started down this path of looking for opportunities, because it was shortly after that you created you started to do coding, self-taught. You saw opportunities and you found things, because you did another business. I won't call it a business. It was something that you did. It was for the dogs.
Yeah.
What was that again?
There was two. So before I did that one, I did Game Monster.
Oh, that's right.
Which was, you know, obviously, when I went to high school, there was a lot of flash games and whatnot, and a lot of them were blocked by the school. So you couldn't actually get to the website. So I launched a website that couldn't be blocked by the school. And I guess it might have been questionable legality, but I downloaded all these flash games from these other websites and then hosted them on my own website and started making some ad money on this website doing games. So that was kind of like my first thing that I've built from scratch, and it was a little bit more dynamic. And then started My Puppy Planner, which was when I got Lexi.
It was when you got Lexi.
And so I got Lexi and was overwhelmed with, you know, what do I do with all these shots? And you got to time things out and do different things. So I kind of built a tool to do that.
We're going through that with Budo.
Yeah. So I built a tool to do that. Didn't really go anywhere, but
why I brought it up is the fact that you were kind of living life and you would just see opportunities in your everyday life.
Yeah.
And what do you think it was that got you to start? Because that's actually the optic, I think, that you look at life through.
Yeah, I think it's, I believe that your strength is also your greatest weakness, and your greatest weakness is your greatest strength. And I would say that my weakness is that if I'm not interested, I can't do something. But my strength is, if I am interested, I can't stop doing that something. So I've found challenges, and I think I really enjoyed the challenge. And it helps that I was able to apply it to kind of real world examples, you know, focusing on issues that I was having and just trying to build something.
Yeah.
Not necessarily trying to make it a business from the outset. You know, I there wasn't a focus on making money necessarily with Game Monster or with My Puppy Planner. It was definitely more, can I do it?
So you're driven by the puzzle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So cool. But there was a moment, there was a time where that switch flipped. Because I know that, I think you were around 11. And I tell that when I started to pay you for stuff. I put you on a commission and everything. Yeah. And we did some things. So at that point, we could start having conversations. In fact, we still have the original bank accounts with both our names on it still today. And that was when you were 11. You're now 32. So it's been a few years.
Yes.
So, but it was then when we started to actually talk a bit about money and everything. At what point do you think that, and it wasn't about money for money's sake, it was you were looking at money a little differently, I think. But at what point did that kind of start to come into your focus?
I think it was as soon as I started to make, relative to like my peers, make good money, which was probably 15, when I actually was like, okay, I'll ask for money for these websites. And like making solid money, just got getting into high school and not having a job, it was really cool. And also led to, you know, the decision of, I can just go and blow all this money, or I can blow part of it and save some of it, and stuff like that. And I think that's where, I don't know that we had tension or anything like that about saving or anything like that. I just felt like I needed to save. And I think that's mainly because of you harping on it and the time value of money and compounding, and, you know, the difference between starting at 15 and starting at 25 is incredible. And so I would probably say, regardless of your age, whether you're 15 or you're 55, that kind of tension of learning to save is always there. And that's what I was feeling, is like, I have all this money, but I can't spend it. And it wasn't that I couldn't, it was that I shouldn't.
Yeah. It was a healthy angst.
Yeah. Yeah. But then once the habit was in place, and I think it was more probably into my 20s where it got easy.
Yeah.
Where I could start to not really think about money, because my wants in life were a lot less than the money that I was making, and it was almost on autopilot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that's a really important thing for people to hear, is that when we start to create a life that allows us what I call margin, you know, to be able to then create savings that allows us to then use that from an investment standpoint to grow, which gives us even more freedom.
Yeah.
I mean, so, because I remember you were doing websites, you were doing all kinds of things.
I was probably making $1 an hour on websites, but
yeah. But still, you know, compared to your peers, like you said, they're doing fast food. I remember one time your then girlfriend, you had said to me, she got a raise, and I think it was a $2 raise or something. I said, did you do the math on it? And he said, and so we said 2,000 hours, that's about $4,000 for the year. If we divide that, it's, you know, $150, $200, less than $200 a month. If you take the taxes out, it's probably $150 a month. If she gets paid twice a month, it's probably $70 every check. And that kind of hits you where you go, well, if I wanted to make $4,000, I can just go sell another job.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
When do you think it was for you where you started to look at things and say, because we can talk about your college experience and when you sent me that text too, if you want.
I don't care to talk about it, but you can talk
about it. But I mean, there was a point in there where you decided, oh, I'm going to always control my own destiny. When do you think that was? What was that catalyst for you?
You know, I never really felt that in control. I don't think until after college. So it was more of, I don't know. I thought I had it figured out and I was just going to build websites and call it a day. What do I need this film degree for? But yeah, I would say late 20s is probably when, so that's like, you know, a decade into me even starting to make money and think about saving, where I felt more in control. And I would say that it was more a focus on the income than it was on the saving, like knowing that I could always earn versus I got lucky this year and I earned some money. I think that that's what led to kind of more confidence in, you know, having control.
But it was before that when you decided, I'm not going to work for someone else. I'm going to take control of it and do it on my own.
Yeah. You know, that's probably more like fear driven. Like a lot of it's driven out of, I mean, it's a weird, I work so hard cause I'm lazy, right? Like
I'm the same way.
I don't want a job. So I'll work 90 hours a week. Like it doesn't make sense. But you know, I think it was once I was making fairly good money, maybe around 18, building websites. I think that was like, yeah, I'm never gonna have a job. I don't even know if I need a degree.
Yeah. We went through that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he did get his degree, just so you know. And there's a whole question about college education and all that stuff. That's for another episode. And we can talk about it another time. But the fact of the matter is that at a young age, Jeremy decided that the entrepreneur journey was for him. And I think one of the powerful things for those that are doing side gigs or entrepreneurial journey or deciding they want to build something is the fact that you actually have the ability to impact the top line and the bottom. You too often, if we are on a fixed income, whether it's a salary, getting your 1 or 2% raises, or you're in retirement, the only thing you can affect is the expense structure, which is the bottom line. And that doesn't allow you to accelerate financial growth, financial freedom, and wealth. But as someone that has the ability, like you said, I can just go sell another website or bring in more money, do another launch, do something, you start to have the ability to impact things at both levels, which is where you can accelerate your wealth.
Yeah. And I'd say you have one more point of control, which is your time.
Yeah.
In a traditional job, you don't control how much you make necessarily, at least directly, and you don't control when or how you work. And I think that those two pieces are disempowering.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you've got your business and you're doing your thing, but you've been doing other things and you know, obviously you've been married now let me get this right, 5 years, right? Coming up.
Sure. Yeah, 5 years.
And she's got her own business also.
Mm-hmm.
She's got her own business. Cammy is a successful entrepreneur also in the financial planning space. So, obviously I've watched Jeremy grow. I've also watched her grow because they've known each other since high school. And she's doing amazing stuff too. And now the two of you are this power couple that are building two separate businesses, but more importantly, and I think this is really important, is you're building life.
Yeah.
You know, you've got your first child, you've got a second child on the way. And so that means that the two of you are having conversations regularly about money and your financial vision, but your life vision.
Yeah.
Was it always that way? Were you always guys? I mean, because you guys started off young. And I know it's at one point she went away for college and
yeah, I mean, we're
really didn't separate you at all.
We joke that we've been together for so long that it feels like we were dating different people back then. And then we just realized, oh, that was you. That's not my ex-boyfriend. I think we definitely always had a more longer term view, but it's interesting. Like nowadays we don't really know, we're kind of living shorter term, right? We don't want to keep, like there's a balance between sacrificing now for the future and enjoying now.
Yeah.
And so that's the balance currently that we're trying to strike. And it's not this like, hey, we want to live in California and live in this big house and have three kids. And, you know, that's a very strict vision versus focusing on experience. So we want to travel. We want to try different things. We're in just a couple of weeks, we're leaving to Portugal for a month and we're going to work from Portugal with Emily and, time offset by like 8 hours and whatnot. So it's going to be a whole experience and we're not doing it because it's easy. We're doing it because of the challenge. And it's the thing we want to do. And ultimately the idea is maybe we can travel 6 months out of the year. Her and I don't really like taking vacations. Cause stuff just piles up while you're gone. So instead, you know, these kind of like month long stays, number one, Airbnb gives you like 30% off. So you're paying way less. And then number two, we essentially have 1 week of time there where we're not working just by looking at the weekends and assume you can take one day off during the week. Like you've got more time than you can spend in all these different places without taking off any time working. And so that's kind of where we're focused now.
But I think that this is really a huge lesson. I hope that people are hearing. It's one of the elements that we talk about, the critical outcomes in Affluence Blueprint, is this idea of living a richer lifestyle, which is not, it may be funded by money, you know, or it may be funded by the structure of your life. But what creates the richness is what you're doing, is the experiences. And you're sitting back saying, how do we experience life the way we want to, not what society says, because, you know, not what, you know, dad and mom say, because she's got her own entrepreneurial parents too, you know, and what we want, like this is the first time I heard that they might try and do it for 6 months. That means that I don't see my grandchildren for 6 months at a time.
No, that means you're just traveling with us.
We might be traveling with it because we are crashing their party in Portugal for a week or 8 days. We're gonna show up. So, but I think that this was something that one of the things that I constantly say is that as a couple, we need to have these conversations around money. But money in the context of life, not in the context of things, I think is important. And that's what it sounds like you guys are doing.
Yeah. Yeah. We enjoy our things, but we're very simple. I mean, the joke is that, you know, we've lived in this house for I guess six years now. And we have the smallest house out of all of our friends. Yet our income is arguably quite high. And it's, we don't really value things. We want to do things, experience things. And yeah, I think one of the biggest strengths that we have as a couple is Cammy is a financial planner.
Yeah.
And I think having a financial planner is incredible because you can have confidence in your plan. And so for us, it's like, okay, we need to save X dollars per year. And once we save that, we don't save anymore. We don't go and squander it, but we spend it on experiences, or we save it for future experiences.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really powerful because we know what our life looks like in 30 years. Like financially, we're dialed in. And
you
we
build,
don't.
You build an asset base to work from that's going to continually grow.
Yeah.
This is the money machine that I talk about. It's so important.
Yep.
But it didn't happen overnight.
No. No, and many times it's boring. And they say that the easiest way to become a millionaire is to whatever it is, put $5,000 or $200 away a month for X number of years and all of a sudden you're a millionaire. So like it's you're not going out getting lottery tickets. You're doing the long trudge, the marathon, the slow game, which is why when you automate it, it makes it so much easier. And then when you kind of recalibrate your wants and desires, so your impulse buys or whatever is not cars or Gucci bags or whatever, shoes, your impulse buying, I don't know, whatever, investments.
Yeah.
It makes it so much easier because you don't want the crazy stuff, the expensive stuff.
Has this been a shift for you guys or is this something that has kind of always been there?
No, it's been a shift. We actually started with, you know, let's save as much as possible and let's make as much as possible, which meant like buy as little as possible, do as little as possible, have as little as possible, and just accumulate dollars. And like, you know, that was, I think that served us, especially being young, right? You know, we didn't have a great income. So really dialing back, one, developed the muscle, the discipline. But two, it also, it allowed us to save more money earlier on. And, you know, the biggest impact on your future wealth is time.
Yes.
So I think that served us, but at the same time, you know, looking at our life, you know, that was at some point probably in the last 3-4 years where we were just like, we're accumulating, cool, but we're not really doing anything. We're not enjoying life. And so it was, how do we balance the both, right? And that came down to a plan. And once we knew the plan, like, okay, here's the lifestyle in 30 years, inflation adjusted, all that stuff. Then we knew our number on an annual basis and all the surplus beyond that. Yeah, we can decide to save and say, you know what, let's shorten our working years and retire at 50 or 45 or whatever. But a better use of the time is, or a better use of the money is to enjoy life now and go on experiences and maybe focus less on growing the businesses as fast as possible and more on building sustainable businesses where you can take time out, not just dollars.
So this is beautiful because I think that what you're getting at, this is something it took me a while to get. And I remember when I had my bike accident and Richard came and took me to lunch and he looked at me and he said, how much is enough? See, I didn't know what my finish line was, but you guys kind of do, and you're watching it and you're tracking it and you're stress testing it and you're doing the things. I mean, everyone out there, we really need to understand what we want our lifestyle to look like. It'll change and it can change. I mean, every time you have a child, it's going to change and now you're on number two, you know, but you input it into the plan, you stress test it in the plan, and you continue to build. But at the same time, what I'm hearing you, if I'm understanding it, is the way you're living. And some of this is the first time I'm hearing you say this, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I love the way you guys are doing it, in the sense that we took care of our current needs. We took care of knowing that we're building our future based on a plan. And there's this piece in the middle that may be left over, and that's to enrich our current life or to set up some other enrichments later in life.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way you're doing it.
Well, and you know, in your younger years, at least, is my opinion, you have more of an ability to enjoy life. So if you worked until you were 60 or 70, and then you had all this money and you knew you were set up, and now you're going to go try and enjoy life, well, that's number one, risky, because you might not make it that far, right? And number two, like, I think we need to do a better job of balancing versus having phases.
Yeah. I you're not going to get an argument from me. I totally agree. I think we need to be living the journey during that time, which kind of leads me to this question. How much do you think, for both of you, and I know you can't speak for Cammie necessarily, and maybe we bring her on one time and we'll have her and I'll have a conversation too, is that how much do you think that the environment that you grew up in, the environment that you're in, impact, you know, maybe it's environment, maybe it's indoctrination, I don't know, impacted the way you're kind of approaching life?
100%. Yeah. There's, if I had married anybody other than Cammie, if I had a dad other than you, like it's 100% environment. Because you, I mean, I know it's cliche at this point, but you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with, right? And so you start to think like those people. You start to value what those people value. And Cammie and I don't value material things. You don't really value material things. Honestly, it's probably because of you and Stephanie that we really kind of took more of a look at, you know, how can we experience life earlier? You know, your guys' travel and stuff like that. And then it was actually because of a family that we follow, where they're traveling with three kids. And that was actually a big kind of limiting thing, and actually a point of tension for Cammie and I, was like, I don't know if I want kids because I want to experience life and I don't want to be tied down, but that's not a truth. You know, that's like, we can absolutely make it work. And it's, you know, obviously it's going to be harder. Right. If you constantly are chasing the easiest thing, then who knows where you'll end up. But if you chase the thing you want, regardless of difficulty, then you've got control.
And I'll tell you, watching you as a dad to Emily.
Yeah.
Watching her as a mom to Emily. God, and watching the two of you together. It's so cool to see.
Yeah.
It's so, I mean, you guys are so good with each other, with her, at a young age. Because look, the 30s, we call the 30s the messy middle for a reason. But y'all got it. You seem to have, at least, not that it doesn't get messy, but you have, like you said, a plan. You have a process. You have a way. You have a communication. And it doesn't need to get messy, and it doesn't need to be messy too often if you do that. And watching you from the outside, you know, and we have a vested interest, but it's cool to see.
Yeah, I think we were very focused on building a space for ourselves to be good parents. And that means not feeling like we have to spend every minute with Emily, but also the minutes that we do spend, we are 100% focused. Because if we tried, you know, Cammie and I talk about this quite often. It's like, she goes to daycare. You know, she's not even a year old yet. And that was a hard decision because it was like, you know, you have this negative connotation with daycare. And especially me, because you know, I was in daycare. But Emily, number one, she loves it. The kind of interpersonal skills that she's learning, incredible. She wouldn't get that otherwise. And two, it lets us focus 100% during the day on work. And when we're done with work, the computers are off, the phones are off, and we're 100% focused on Emily. And I think that the time that Emily is with us, she's experiencing us fully present.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot more important than experiencing more of us less present.
Yeah. And just so we're clear, I pulled you out of daycare after we saw the mess it was. Because that one was messy and it was older and it was just too noisy and it wasn't conducive to anything.
Yeah.
But that's the other side of it, is you have the ability to choose.
Yeah.
What that life looks like. You're going to pull Emily and you're going to go spend a month in Portugal. And before Emily was born, you told us that you were having a girl and said, hey, by the way, we're taking off to Hawaii for a month. You did the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So, and I'll tell you, I'm not going to say that that we don't look at it and go, hey, we should just take off for a month somewhere, you know?
I mean, we run the numbers and it's like, well, we should rent out our house and just go experience things, you know?
And we will chase you down wherever you go. So,
yeah,
because we can, which is cool. So here's the thing. I know that we're running on time, but I wanted to have the conversation. But when it comes to money, when it comes to wealth, when it comes to some things, you know, that you've learned and lived and had to go through with me as your dad, with your father-in-law and all that stuff. If you had to give some things to someone that's listening, whether they're in their 20s or their 40s or their 50s, what are the things that you would tell them about a financial journey that matters?
I'd say no matter when you're starting, it's hard. It's like any habit. It's hard to stick to. But once you've done it long enough, it's ingrained in you and you turn out to be like my dad who wakes up at 4 a.m. to go to the gym without even thinking about it. But I would say you stick with it. You do the hard stuff now. Because at the end of the day, we only have so much time and you gotta be able to live once you are past being able to work. Right. Yeah. And, so regardless of how late you feel, I mean, even there's stuff that I do now that I just feel like, oh, I should have done that 10 years ago. But you know, you're always late, right? That's just a feeling. But it's not an excuse to not start. I think starting is key. Sticking with it is key. And spend money on stuff that's actually important to you. You know, material things, maybe it's important to you, but don't spend your future on it.
So good. So good. I mean, if all you did listening or watching this episode took that little snippet and replayed it in your heart, your soul, and your brain regularly, it's enough to get you by, because we live in a comparison society. Everyone's flashing their perfect life on social media. We tend to swipe and buy things because, oh, it looks cool, but it wasn't in the plan and we don't need it, but it would be cool to have. And that will destroy our futures. It'll also destroy our experiences, because when we start to do that on debt, especially during the current economic times, it starts to erode our relationships because of the stress that it can cause. And you guys are doing it right. I mean, you know, even having this conversation with you, and we talk money and business a lot, but we've never had this conversation. It shows me that where you guys are. I mean, your maturity from a financial standpoint is beyond the years. You get it. You've got it. You've got it dialed in. So you know, I'm looking forward to seeing the next step for you, the next stage for y'all. It's going to be fun. It's been fun to watch. It's been fun.
Second baby.
Huh? It is. It is. It totally is. And you all are still our babies, no matter how old you get anyway. So, I appreciate you, Jeremy, for just coming on, being open, being frank, having the conversation. You've watched me grow and do things and us do it together. I forced you to go through our wealth planning meetings, all that stuff that we can talk about. But all in all, I think that's the key is get in the game, stay in the game. It may be hard. Once you get the habits in place, they're habits for life, and they will give you life, and they'll bring value to your life. And it's just following principles, and the principles will work. They may be boring, like you said, but they're principles for a reason. They're universal and they work long term, no matter what's going on. So that's the key. Let's get everyone the principles. Let's get them the plan. Let's get them a process. Let's get them the priorities, and then get on with living. So mm-hmm. I appreciate you, buddy. I love you tremendously. You, if I can claim you as my greatest success, then I did okay while I was here.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'd jump on anytime, and hopefully it was helpful.
Cheers. See you guys later. See you.
See you, everybody.
Thank you for being a part of the Affluent Entrepreneur Show with me, your host, Mel Abraham. If you want to achieve financial liberation to create an affluent lifestyle, join the Affluent Entrepreneur Facebook group at melabraham.com/group. And I'll see you there. Cheers. Bye.